the meeting to order, please? Can I get a roll call?
Kurt Olstead. Tracy Corluccio. I don't know.
Here.
She's here. Tim Doherty. Michael Dressler.
Yes.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richmond.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich. Michael T. Fenn.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Who are the phone?
Rob Walton.
Right here. Can you please read the open public meeting statement?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice at the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Takes us to approval of minutes. Can I get a motion, please?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yeah.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yeah, yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich. Councilmember T. Fenn.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Bring us to the chairman's report. Really, the COA committee met, and at this time, there's really no further action, so if we have anything else to do later, we will bring it up at that point in time. Any other council members have anything to report out on? Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate truth that the people are only concerned about their water when there's a crisis like a drought, and I think that what has happened in Flint, Michigan has made people aware of how precious our water resources are. Since our last meeting, I'm looking through the papers and newspapers, and all of these articles point to the fact that we have a lot of problems with our water in New Jersey, especially here in northern New Jersey. Here's one article from the Record. More well tests near Ringwood Superfund site, which is near Wanacue Reservoir. From New Jersey Spotlight, tests on fish raise new concerns about estrogen levels in drinking water. From, I guess this is from the Record also, New Jersey fighting rise in water tainted by common chemical. And an editorial in the Record about clean water, how we need to protect our clean water. We are the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council, and we should be very concerned about our water protection. Last time we had a lady speak about the Sparta Mountain stewardship, forest stewardship. I didn't know much about it. I did some research and I spoke to people that know a lot more than me about water resources. And one of the things that's disturbing about that plan is that the logging will ruin the canopy that covers and shades the water in the streams, rivers, and in the marshlands. And I do think, like Tracy said last time, and the lady who spoke to us about it, you know, brings up the point that we should be looking into anything in the highlands that affects the water. We did this with the Fenimore landfill. We set up a committee, and we're working on that. So I'm going to ask the staff, I don't know what our responsibility or our jurisdiction is as far as Sparta Mountain and the Forest Reserve, but I know the public comment period has been extended to March 1st. So that does give us some time, but I don't think that we would have to meet that March 1st because we are a state committee, a state commission. So I would ask my fellow commissioners to join me in finding out what exactly is going on with that stewardship plan for Sparta Mountain, and have our staff, you know, look at their plans and get back to us as to you know, what they think about it.
Well, I would start by saying that there is also a regulatory body that's set up to manage that. That's the DEP, and we are charged with water protection within a scope outlined in the law that doesn't put us as a public advocate one way or another, unless it's impacting us. So,
well, I do think it is impacting us, and you know, if we don't have jurisdiction, I still think we could, you know, give our two cents as to, you know, what's happening with not only that. We did this with the Fenimore landfill. I mean, we had our jurisdiction with the Fenimore landfill was simply that we had to vote on a couple of years ago whether what they proposed was acceptable to the Highlands Act. That was it. But we did set up a committee. We're looking into it because we're concerned with the water that is coming out of the Fenimore landfill. So I hope that, you know, my commissioners will, fellow commissioners will support this and have the staff look into their plan.
I'll ask Barbara to look into what rights we have, but beyond that, at this point in time, I think we need to clarify those before we, anybody call you up right now, John, so clarify that before we take any formal action.
Just my last thought is that please always remember that we were appointed to this committee to watch over the water of northern New Jersey and the Highlands. And this water is provided to about two-thirds of the state's population.
I don't have a problem. Carl and I have a problem with looking into it. But we lose nothing by looking into situations.
Right.
Yeah. And I'd like to add, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't be involved. Quite frankly, we are very involved many times because our staff, the DEP staff, interact quite a bit on a lot of different things. We see them all nodding. So it's not as if we're saying no. It's where and how we utilize what we can bring to the table to address this. And as I stated before, we're not charged with being a public advocate or anything like that, or any type of environmental group, or, you know, there are savings for that. This is not one of them. We're charged a certain way by law. But again, we work very well with DEP the last number of years.
Thanks for your consideration.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Forest stewardship is near and dear to my heart. The first thing you want to do is look at what their plan is, because any plan is better than no plan. And when it comes to forest stewardship or forest management, there are some really strict standards. And the foresters are not foolish people. When it comes to the canopy, sometimes you have to adjust the canopy to make the forest healthy. It's a complex. It goes to the natural resources, and we spoke about this at our natural resources subcommittee also. And so the watershed and forest management is critical to the watershed. If someone is trying to implement a forest stewardship plan, that should be encouraged. It's just that some folks don't understand what's involved with that. The first thing you want to do is read their plan or their proposed plan, and then you can respond to it. But until you can read what their intentions are, what their foresters are saying, they can't do stuff that's not allowed by the DEP or by the Department of Environmental Protection. Has some very good people that are involved with that. So when you go to implement a plan and they get involved, it's not going to be something that's outrageous. It's going to be scientific. And forest management plans or forest stewardship plans, or whatever you want to call it, are all very good things to put in place. It's just that, like all experts, maybe everybody doesn't agree on what you're doing, but the common agreement is to protect the watershed using the best scientific methods possible to protect the flora and the fauna. It's not about the trees. That's part of it. But the watershed is really a balance that foresters most likely try to strike. So the first thing I would do is read the plan, and then see, then comment on the plan. Because if they're proposing something, there has to be a plan in place.
Just for your own knowledge, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, a council meeting in Sparta, and there were, for 2 hours, residents spoke against it.
Okay.
So there's something there.
But if now, say, a forward group that comes speaking against it, that's one issue. But if lots of times the uninformed public will object to things they don't understand.
Well, I think we discussed it here. Does anybody else have anything else to report out on?
Can I speak? This is Tracy Curlicchio on the phone.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to support Carl Rishika's comments, and I think it would be really helpful if we had our staff who has expertise in natural resources and forest planning to look at this plan. And I think it's more a matter of having that expertise brought to bear on what they want to do in Sparta Mountain, rather than us as individuals trying to give an opinion. I don't agree that any plan is better than no plan, and it's not just about what regulation allows. It's about ensuring the plan is effective in protecting natural resources and the water resources at the highlands. So I think, we have that expertise on our staff. Let's let them take a look at this, and let's look at it from that technical and scientific point of view that we're all supposed to be using in order to look at how to protect the resources of the highlands. I think we have to be proactive and assertive here. So we've done it in other instances, and this is appropriate for us to do it in this instance.
Thank you for your comment. Does anybody else have anything else to report out on? Seeing none, we'll move to the executive director's report. Ms. Marshall.
Thank you. I have just a few items to report out on. In plan conformance implementation for Hatcon Township, deemed consistent with their exemption determination authorization was deemed consistent, and we issued them certifications. Plan conformance technical assistance. We will again be offering training sessions in support of stormwater management planning as part of the Highlands Plan conformance implementation. Training is designed for designated stormwater coordinators and municipal public works members. It provides an overview of Highlands Council-funded stormwater management program elements with a focus on the use of a mobile application, which I know some of you are familiar with, to assist with meeting the requirements of New Jersey stormwater management rules and Highlands Plan conformance regarding the mapping of outfall locations and conditions. We're offering two-hour sessions on Tuesday, March 8th at 10 and 2 p.m. And we welcome you if you'd like to come and hear this. I know some of you have already. If you'd like to come, just let me know so I make sure that we won't have quorum issues, but it really is a worthwhile presentation. We have on municipal issued exemptions, Montville Township issued 1 exemption 5, and Ringwood Borough exemption issued 1 exemption 4. And on a happy note, on our regional planner, we made an offer to Drew Siglin. He's accepted, and we expect him to start February 22nd, so that brings another much-needed body to our planning staff. We had 3 public outreach meetings on the 4th, the 9th, and 11th. They went really, really well. They really did. Some people came in wanting to talk about the regional master plan and where we were with our update, which we did, but people came in with other questions as well. We got a lot of good networking done, and I will say, even though right now where we are with the Regional Master Plan Monitoring Program, we cannot take on one more thing. We really can't. However, when we get past this, I think we should consider having maybe twice a year at least, like networking nights, where we just kind of go out to the towns and say, come in and, we'll talk to you about whatever questions you have, members of the public too. We did get, some freeholders at the Warren County meeting. We did get elected officials at all 3 meetings, and they had a lot of good questions, and it gave us a good opportunity to meet with them face-to-face. So moving forward, that is something I think we should think about for the future. And there it is. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Worthen. That now takes us to committee reports, landowner equity and land preservation. Mr. Walden.
Well, good evening, everyone. We met again today to discuss our planned proposal for a water fee and a means of compensating landowners. We made, I think, some very good progress in the meeting today. Nothing to announce beyond just continued work towards that end. And no promise date of announcement, but all 4 of us, or 5 of us, the chairman as well, Chairman Riley, are working diligently and trying to come up with a proposal that we think will succeed. Next up is the, we finally have approval to approve our open space program. So I'm going to take the privilege of being chair of that committee to move the resolution and hope that it passes tonight. I think this is a real step forward for us in beginning to compensate some folks and helping our municipalities and counties with preservation. So, motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. And we have a second from Mr. James. Any public questions? Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on the resolution for authorization and approval of the publication of notice of adoption in the New Jersey Register of the Highlands Open Space Partnership Funding Program and Highlands Development Credit Purchase Program, Administrative Rule NJAC 70-1. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this? Is there a hearing? Yes, sir.
Hi, Hank Klump. I'm a farmer in the Highlands in the preservation area. We got 150 some acres there. Question for you on the land, and I really appreciate the work that this committee has done. It's the first thing that I had seen since I've been coming here, and the act was passed in 04, so we're in 016 now, so it's been a long time in coming, and standing here in front of you guys is really a pleasure to see something being done. But I was wondering if we could have got, or you could have got money for us from Bob Smith, because he's got that corporate money and he doesn't know what to do with it. So I was wondering if you could apply for some of that to help the owners too. And on this scenario is, I hope that, and I believe that you all got a copy of Hartstein's evaluation of the land value, and his report is like $15 billion, and that's using Lisa Jackson's figures and stuff from DEP. So I think because the 88 and the 25 acres is kind of a dead issue too, unless somebody here knows something that's happened about that. But you have several avenues here that you have to address, in my opinion. So, but again, I'd like to thank everybody on that committee. And again, this is the first thing that I can say. Looking forward to it, because there's a lot of people that have gotten hurt, gone bankrupt, passed away, and their heirs got problems with the land. It's worthless. You can't do anything with it. You can't get any equity out of it. So we're all caught in this boat. So what can I tell you? Thanks again. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Anybody else in public? Yes, please.
Julia Summers, Executive Director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I wasn't going to say anything until Hank reminded everybody how he believes that he has been deprived of the value of his land, and just reminding that his neighbor sold his property for over $40,000 an acre in the preservation area. I just wanted to make a comment on the process for the open space regulations. We appreciate that there were changes made to clarify some things that we were very concerned about, that we didn't think were, that you were saying what you meant to say. But it is hard for the public to comment properly when all you gave us was little excerpts of comments and things that you were going to change. We had nobody has seen the rewritten comments. At least none of the public has seen the rewritten comments. But I wanted to thank you for at least approving some of it.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Well, my name is David Shope, and again, I'm sure the committee is really frustrated by the fact that they really have no assets to really work with. We're talking about nickels and dimes on a devaluation that is in billions, and whatever they can muster from their piggy banks, which contains small change, quite frankly, will will not last the lifetime of many people in the Highlands. We're getting old, we're going to die. That is the part of the strategy that nobody wants to talk about. But it is a part of the strategy. And Julia Summers mentions $40,000 for land in the preservation area. I have 50 acres, I'd be willing to sell for 20. Talk to me. Write me a check for $1 million, and it's yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue only? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Before going to council members, yes, we've already, there has been an attempt to look at the Mr. Smith's money and how we can get some of that. Can you hear me? Sorry.
That's good.
The corporate business tax money. We have asked for it. We'll see what we get. And to your comment that I've stated previously, we know this is nowhere near enough to compensate what the landowners are going through. All we're trying to do is the best we can with the utilities given us, and which has been limited. And I think this is a great start because we're not just using funds we can get. We're trying to co-opt that money with municipalities, state, federal, wherever we can get extra funds to help compensate. Any other council members wish to be heard? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Sebetich. Councilmember T. Peng.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. All yeses. Wow.
If I may, Chairman, to conclude my report, I really do want to thank Mr. Dressler, Mr. Francis, Mr. Vizioli, and you, Chairman, for working on this. It's been a long time, obviously, but all of us came to this council with different opinions and predispositions about the act, about the size of this act, about who's right, who's wrong, and we've all come together and agree wholeheartedly on the fact that the landowners were harmed, they deserve some compensation. We need to find a mechanism to make that happen. And I hope that will have the same unanimous support when we make our final report on that issue in the next several meetings. But I just want to thank you for the work that they've been. It's been a true, what's the right word?
Bipartisan
and cooperative experience on all of this.
Thank you,
Ms.
Wong.
Ms.
Jen?
Yeah,
could I just say one thing? You know, when you're working on this, Bob, maybe, you know, it's a big nut for all these people.
Mr. James?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. James. Go ahead.
At the end, you could do that for like all 3 minutes or something.
I'm sorry.
No, all kidding aside, the water fee is the solution. We've talked about this before. This is a bipartisan board, as you know. Everybody voted. And everybody's going to vote for the plan that committee came up with. But I've never heard either an environmentalist or farmer argue with that. The biggest challenge is going to be telling our legislators, both Republicans and Democrats, that is the solution, because that's where you're going to get the money. And it is not a burden. It's not a big burden on anybody who's using water. I'll pay the fee. It's just not a big burden. It's about $12 a quarter a year or something. It's ridiculously low for millions of dollars that will go in for the relief that everybody wants, not only the landowners, but the towns. Right? So the challenge is going to be, I already know from the Senate President Sweeney that he would not support this, but that he's running for governor. He wants to run for governor next year, and I'm saying it publicly. If somebody wants to run for governor, then they have to understand it's an entire state that they have to take care of. And this is the northern part of the state. I realize it's a South Jersey boy, but it's the northern part of the state, and this is important. So we have legislators, both Republican and Democrat, in every single district that the Highlands encompasses, or the counties who are affected by the Highlands encompass. So it's up to us, your side, if there's sides, to be pressuring our legislators in the same way. Because this is not a Republican-Democrat issue. This is a fairness issue. This is a sustainability issue. And we're going to run into other problems as life goes on, but this is one of the biggest ones that we can get over. So we're doing our job. You guys got to do your job and pressure your legislators to support this when it comes up.
One thing that we said, to your point, Freeholder, in committee is everybody pays for their water. Unless you have your own private well, then you're paying for the maintenance of your well and whatnot. But if you get your water from your town, from your utility, you're paying a certain amount of the money per month, per quarter for that water. Part of the cost of that water, it's not just the cost of piping it out of the ground, running it down the street, and putting it into your house. Part of the cost is what we do here, preserving the land, maintaining that water quality, whether it's preserving a farm, whether it's environmental regulation, and all of that has a cost. And that cost is not captured in the fee that people pay for water. It's out there in the ether. And what the water fee would try to do is to help capture that cost and have it reflected in what you're paying for water. So what you're paying for water reflects the cost to have good, clean drinking water. And that's the justification in my mind for why this is a fair fee and not just an arbitrary tax.
Don't call it a tax.
Yeah, don't call it a tax.
Call it a fee. It's a waste of tax.
In the end. Well, I'm very pleased, being a member of the bank board, I'm very pleased that we now have some rules so that the members of the bank board knows what the heck is going on and how to proceed, because it was very dicey before trying to allocate credits and what we're allowed to consider and not consider. So I think the bank board is going to be have a lot easier job going forward.
I think we went about it the right way.
Any other comments? Roll call, please.
Did that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Kim walked in, just threw me off the game.
We have another roll call.
He missed.
He just heard all. Yes, he's so anxious.
I call up to find out if it's necessary because I'm running late at a meeting. I had to attend. They said you have to be here for that vote.
We're glad you're here. We're right over the return.
They might vote for you. Don't worry. That takes us to the regional master plan update. Kurt would normally read out on this, but I have a couple notes here. First, fiscal impact assessment and peer review continue moving forward with the phase one and phase two report being finalized and sent to Rutgers for review. Our consultant is beginning work on phase three of the fiscal impact assessment, the municipal fiscal evaluation. We expect to have an update for the council for completion sometime in the near future. On the monitoring program recommendation report, the Highlands Council held three public outreach sessions. Mark kind of touched on this already, so I really don't need to go through that again. And I believe there's some timeline updates. Ms. Thorson, you want to?
Yes, well, I've got Corey Bissetti here to give you a little presentation on where we have been and where we're going.
Thank you. The purpose of this presentation is to just provide a brief update to council and the members of the public as to the status of the monitoring program recommendation report as well as the fiscal impact assessment, realizing that we haven't given an MPRR presentation to the public at a council meeting in a while. Margaret largely made this presentation at each of the three public outreach sessions held earlier this month. So I'll try to be brief, and if there's any questions, just let me know. So I know we've all seen this slide more times than we want to admit, but it doesn't hurt to reiterate that the monitoring program is not intended to amend the RMP, but rather develop the factual foundation for potential amendments to current or future iterations of the RMP. And based on factual outcomes, the council may choose to make policy or programmatic changes in the future. So just to take a look at what we've completed thus far, we've actually completed quite a bit. We held the public comment period from September of 2014 through April of 2015. And as a result, we generated about 400 potential indicators, Those 400 indicators were broken down based on topic area and presented to the technical advisory committees that were held in early December. And with the tax advice, we were able to bring that number down to something that was much more manageable and narrow that list to identify the primary indicators which are proposed to be analyzed as part of the recommendations report. I want to assure anyone that proposed an indicator or anybody that may be looking for the indicator, their favorite indicator, no indicators have been discarded. They will appear in the report as secondary indicators that, should it be deemed necessary based on trend, would allow us to provide a deeper level of analysis into each indicator. These primary indicators that I'm discussing were presented at the public outreach sessions, as Margaret said, that were held earlier this month. Council members have them in their packets, and they'll be posted on our website for members of the public tomorrow. The public outreach sessions were well attended, and I believe provided those who came with what we sought to provide, which was a better understanding of where we were and where we need to go to finish this process. So now that we've established the list of primary indicators, staff will work to complete the in-depth analysis of each indicator, and based on the results of that indicator analysis and staff's own experience with implementing the regional master plan, we'll work to develop the science and research agenda as well as a recommendations report. Once we have draft indicators, the science and research agenda, and recommendations, we'll convene the second meeting of the technical advisory committees to review the findings. Following the TAC review of the MPRR, the MPRR will be released for public comment. Following council action, there'll then be a total of 6 public hearings. 5 of those hearings will be throughout the Highlands region. 1 meeting will be held in Trenton. And so I know we've also discussed indicators and milestones before, but Margaret presented this slide at the public outreach sessions, and I thought it worthwhile to go back over and just reiterate why we're doing this process. The indicators and milestones are to provide the framework for ongoing monitoring of the goals and policies of the RMP. And from these indicators, we can identify RMP policies and programs which are most effective and where amendments may be called for. All of the indicators must be quantitative and allow for tracking over time. We have the 10 indicator topic areas I think you all are very familiar with. These are taken directly out of the regional master plan. This is the way the regional master plan is organized. And so we thought better to not make the process any more confusing. As I had mentioned before, a recommendations report and science and research agenda will be written based on the results of the indicators and will provide the basis for the implementation of the MPRR. The science and research items will assist the council in the continued refinement, updating, and research that improves the council's understanding of the Highlands region's resources. Recommendations will address the policies or programs identified from indicators which can be improved to better achieve the goals of the Highlands Act. The other component of the monitoring program is the fiscal impact assessment. As Chairman Riley stated in the committee's report, phase 1 and 2 of the report are complete, and phase 3, the municipal fiscal and financial analysis, will be complete this spring. The peer review of the fiscal impact assessment, which this council approved as a contract in December, has begun. They have received both phase 1 and phase 2 of the fiscal impact assessment, along with all necessary data to complete their review. As with the MPRR, the fiscal impact analysis and peer review will be released to the public for comment following council action. And again, there will be a total of 6 public hearings, 5 throughout the Highlands region and 1 in Trenton. And that's all I have for my update, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. George, anything else in
there? No, that's it.
Okay, that will take us to the public portion. If anybody has anything they'd like to bring up on any subject, please raise your hand. And a reminder to keep it to 3 minutes, please. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just wanted to, in case you haven't all seen it, point out that NJGS has come up with a new study that says that Highlands water now reaches 70% of the state's population. 332 towns instead of 292 towns. We've picked up another 40 communities that you are sending your water to, so it's a reminder of how important your work is. And I just wanted to say that there is a hugely educated public weighing in on the Sparta Mountain Forest Stewardship Plan. There may be some people who aren't particularly educated, but I have PhDs up the wazoo who are commenting on the Sparta Mountain Forest Stewardship Plan, and they would not appreciate being told that they are uneducated. There is very serious concern about this proposal, and I just wanted to let you know that this is not a bunch of crazies.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I'd just like to follow up a little bit on what Julia just said about the Sparta Mountain proposed forest stewardship plan. I'd like to point out to the council that this proposed stewardship plan does not recognize or comply with any of the water protection regulations that either DEP has or that are either the DEP rules for the Highlands or even the general rules for Category 1 waters, which have like 300-foot buffers. None of those are complied with in this plan. They have, I think, 45-foot buffers. And so, there's certainly the potential for direct effects on water quality and water supply. There are some people who are experts who are going to be making comments on using studies that have been in other places, which will be contained in our comments or the Highlands Coalition comments. But I did want to point out that there are rules that are in existence. This is a piece of public preserved land, and yet it is not being held to even the standards that private entities must comply with by DEP rules. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Hey, Club Highlands Farmer. Before I interrupted Mr. James, I'm sorry. But, Bob, I don't know. I'm speaking for myself. But maybe, for the volume of monies that's going to be needed, that some of the farmers will take partial payments to internal. You know what I mean? Like, keep it going for 30 years or whatever it is, rather than taking one lump sum. You got capital, you know what I mean? It's just a continuous thing. But that might help if some people would take it, spaced out,
Like that's helpful because...
I'm speaking for myself.
No, this is you've touched on...
Because your capital gains would kill you, what I mean? It's just...
So this is about taxes then? No, but to your point, we are... Obviously, money does not come from nowhere. So someone's got to lose money in order for someone to get money. So that is something about which we are cognizant. How much do you take from certain people in order to compensate others? So the fact that you're saying that this can be delayed or spread out is helpful to me. Thank you.
That's my opinion. The other thing is I kind of chuckled to myself. I'd submitted last month my comments on the RPA. And I see it's kind of a whitewash job up there, in my opinion. Again, it's all I can say is it's something like job security, because you have to do it. Whether it gets changed or not, for the better or for the worse, it's still being done. But for the comments that were presented and not being affected in this here, because I wrote on the back here, the resolve, your resolve, happened in my lifetime. Are these questions feasible questions? I'll be waiting to see an answer from anybody. I ain't heard nothing. My phone works. So, thanks again. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Yes, ma'am.
Helen Heinrich, representing New Jersey Farm Bureau. First of all, I'd like to let everybody know that Farm Bureau is very disappointed in the fact that all the hard work that went into getting two bills passed in agreement and on the governor's desk to free up that money that we all voted for was left to go by, and we have to start all over again. But we have started all over again, and I think we're going to have success this time. I hope, but a lot of people are working on that to free up some money for the landowners in the Highlands and as well as everywhere else. And secondly, I think you all would be very interested in reading the Sparta Mountain Plan. I don't know whether you're going to decide to look into it or not, but it is a plan done by Audubon Society as well as the DEP. And its main objective is to create some new habitats so that these birds that don't like canopy in old forest can come back to the forest there. It's a very impressive work there. They document the condition of the forest, but there's nothing in the RMP that requires the Highlands to look into the condition of the forest. Just all you're interested in is the extent of it. But this plan goes into great detail on the diseases, the deer damage, the invasive species, and has a plan to take a little bit of a time, a little bit at a time, every year for 10 years, and make an improvement that will hopefully bring back some of those interesting species that we are very rare now, and are going to get rarer if all we have is canopy forest.
Thank you. Would anybody else in the public wish to speak on any item? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and from time to time, Margaret mentions the fact that the municipalities have doled out exemptions. I know from the past, and I have packets that fix submitted by people who have asked for exemptions, that there's a cost to the landowner in preparing this package to get what should be a very straightforward exemption. And when the number of exemptions are mentioned by Margaret as to the towns issuing them, there's no follow-up, there's no mention of any potential cost to the landowner in doing the necessary work to get what, in many cases, would be a very simple exemption. Some exemptions are just issued by virtue of the fact that you own the property prior to a certain date, period. Should be simple. So when exemptions are mentioned, I would like a follow-up on any potential cost to any actual cost to the landowners in securing these exemptions. And when it comes to forests, I've yet to hear from anyone how you intend to replace the fire cycle, which is a normal forest regenerative process. It's happened for a zillion years. And we have attempted to to arrest the deer because we don't like forest fires. They serve a purpose. The purpose is regenerative. It changes what was into something else. It changes habitat, which may disadvantage some species, but advantages others. What are you going to do about the fire cycle? And also, when it comes to buffers, the Stroud Institute out in Pennsylvania has done work, and they've actually measured the results of different sized buffers in terms of how it affects the water quality of the streams. And early on, they concluded that 35 feet was good enough, not 300, 35. Coordinate your work with a Stroud report. They're in the book. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak on any issue? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We have no executive session. We'll entertain motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.